Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad that you're able to join me for the broadcast today. And I'd like to begin the broadcast in prayer. Some of you need a touch from the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being able to come together and to gather around the word of the Lord and to feel your presence, Lord, and to experience your love. Your love is so great and so real, and you desire to interact with us in such real personal ways in our day-to-day lives. So, Father, we thank you for this time, and Lord, I lift everyone who's had a difficult day. Lord, those who have struggled with sickness, those who have been dealing with strife and anger, issues on the job, Lord, I take authority over the effects of the work of the enemy. I bind pain, physical and emotional pain. Lord, I speak peace to those who are troubled in their spirits, troubled in their hearts, burdened with some of the things they're dealing with. And Lord, I ask you to touch them right now from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that the very peace of God and the very power of God would flow through them right now. And Lord, you give them a faith and just a trust of resting in you. You know everything about them. Lord, if you care, takes the time to number the very hairs of our head, how much more are you concerned about the things that we have to deal with, the people we have to face, the decisions we have to make, the needs that are present in our lives. And so, Lord, I just commit your beloved into your hands and trust you, Lord, for just ministering to them and comforting and strengthening their heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, I'd like to share on this broadcast and the following as the Lord develops, the fact that we are created in the image of God and how very, very much God loves us. We're an image bearer of God. That's something to think about, isn't it? Let's look at that familiar verse of scripture found in the very first chapter of Genesis, verses 26 through 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Praise God. What does it mean? Think about it. What does it mean to be human? What defines us as human beings? Well, the answer to that affects every discipline in society, not just theology. That question has implications for our seemingly every discipline, from theology to sociology, history, biology, psychology, and so many other disciplines. And it's this doctrine that answers questions regarding how mankind is different from God, the Creator, as well as His creation. How we see ourselves. Think about that. That's important. What's the history of our views upon who we are as a distinct creation of God, how we got to where we're at today? Well, in very, very briefly, I'd like to cover about 1,500 years of thought. But before the time of Augustine, basically, man looked at himself fairly simply. He saw himself as a part of a community of people, part of a tribe or ethnic background. But when Augustine came on the scene, he defined himself not just by the sphere of influence and circle of relationships that were around him, as man had done up until that time, but rather saw himself in terms of his own internal, personal, and independent identity. So we're not just part of a big group, and this began to influence Christian men and thinkers, how we define ourselves. René Descartes, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but he said, I think, therefore I am. Augustine said, we're individuals. Descartes said, we're not just individuals, but individuals with a rational mind. We can think for ourselves. And this was radical in their day. Now that preacher, when he came along, I think it was the 19th century, Jonathan Edwards, he taught that independent reasoning, which an individual has, can be saved and improved on by God's grace and glory. Now, this was very revolutionary. This so far, so good. This is all fine up until this present moment. But at that point, non-Christian philosophers came on the scene and built on this same idea, but they taught you're an individual with a mind. So with rationalism that began to develop, they said you don't really need God and His grace to help you. You don't need to look outward to God. You need to look inward to yourself. And this began a pattern of thinking that has influenced and pervaded so much of our culture, our thinking, our mentality. Even Christians do not realize to a great extent how much we can all be influenced by secular humanism, which says, not only do you not have to look outward to God, you need to look inward to self, but basically, you're really okay. Yeah, you're not perfect, but you're not really bad. You're basically a good person. This is such pervasive mentality. American psychologists took this further and said, not only are you pretty good, not only are the answers you need inside of you, you don't need God. Instead of God, you don't really need God at all. What you need is a highly trained specialist, such as a psychiatrist. So they took it further. We don't really need God. He's simply a crutch. Haven't you heard that before? In fact, I used to think that in my college days. You know, religion is just a crutch for weak people. If you're really strong and in control of yourself, you don't need God. Besides, man just made God. He didn't really make us. So I know this is a very brief thumb sketch, if you will, but we see that for over nearly 1,500 years, the transition from Augustine to the present day has resulted in the commonly held belief that God does not save us for His glory and make us part of His people, the church, but rather, essentially, we save ourselves through loving and accepting ourselves and heeding the counsel of psychology. So the ultimate goal of this is not that we glorify God, but rather that we achieve our potential and live for our own glory as worshipers of ourselves. Now, those are pretty strong words, but if you really boil it down, that is a great deal of how people think today. And if we're not careful, even those in the church can be influenced by that. That's where society is. We're okay. Yeah, I try hard. After all, God knows my heart. Psychology says you don't really need church. You just need that's just another form of therapy. There are so many books on how to fix yourself, and that's, you know, the realm of psychology. And in fact, even so many self-help books, and even so much of Christianity has been concerned about that, digging within. Sociologists have said that the true religion of most people in the West today, regardless of what religion they profess to participate in, is moralistic therapeutic deism. Well, that's a mouthful of words, so let's break it down a bit. Moralistic means that we're basically good individuals who can get better, not just sinners who need salvation. We're pretty good, basically. Therapeutic means that it's counseling and therapy, not God or the church, that enable or determine our betterment. And deism means that God is not really involved in our lives. We're essentially on our own. He may have created things, but we're on our own with, you know, the occasional exception of Him answering a prayer that we send Him, or perhaps He sends us some brief insight to aid our betterment. So, beloved, we, according to that scripture I shared with you at the beginning of the broadcast, our image bearers of God. We're to reflect God to this world. And we are being influenced by a teaching, by a psychology, by a view of mankind that really is opposed to what Scripture says. Kids today in our schools are being taught this, that most people today live this way, that even, you know, Christians can't tell the difference between what the Word says and how they're being influenced by the world. And so this leads to a series of questions about what it does mean to be human. And the first is in comparison to culture and what has transpired in history. So what does the Bible teach about the origin of human life? Well, Genesis 1:26-28 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Praise God. So what does it mean to be in his image? Nothing else represents God in this world but man. Beloved, you and I are to reflect God to the world and to represent God in the world. We're not to represent Adam. So who do you reflect? Hallelujah. That's something to think about. Amen. We no longer reflect Adam, the first Adam, but we're to reflect that second man, Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to save us from our sins. God made us not after the kind of animal, but after the image and likeness of God. God made us with dominion over all lower animal forms. Well, I can see that my time has gotten away quickly and I must continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to join me then. But if you have prayer needs, in a moment the announcer will give you our contact information. And it's always such a blessing to hear from new people. Numbers of them have been writing or connecting with me, and it's such a joy to meet them. To know they're part of my spiritual family. So I invite you to write, and I'll be praying for you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,